Well, thanks so much for joining us for this week's Tech Law 10. I'm Jonathan Armstrong, speaking to you from a Caribbean-style London today. The weather is absolutely beautiful. And I'm joined by my colleague, Eric Sinrod.
That's true, and it's rather balmy and beautiful here in the San Francisco Bay Area as well.
Well, fantastic. As the weather improves, Eric, I don't know about you, my mind always turns to music and summer barbecues and drives down to the beach, and we have beaches even in England. And I think that you're having less happy and less Californian thoughts about music as we're going into the summer, aren't you, Eric?
Well, it's sort of funny. I don't normally think of sunshine and barbecue when it comes to England, but maybe I need to change my thinking. Yeah, I've been thinking about this, and I'm not sure these are negative thoughts whatsoever, but sort of the theme is sort of, you know, music everywhere. You know, where do we possibly store it? And, you know, once upon a time, collecting music was a rather clunky experience. You know, we had vinyl albums, which were large and took up a lot of space, although you might have liked the sound quality. And, you know, so storing music, you know, sometimes took, you know, many shelves and rooms if you were quite an avid music collector. And then tapes and CDs came in, and, you know, while they were smaller, they also could add up in terms of storage needs. And none of these are easy to navigate in terms of finding genres, artists, or songs. And, of course, they can't be shuffled in a meaningful way as we've become accustomed more recently. Now, nowadays, mm-hmm. music can be stored with hardly any real storage concerns at all, and they can can be searched and retrieved almost by magic. Now, Jonathan, I have to confess, I'm a music junkie, and when I open up my iTunes, I literally have multiple tens of thousands of songs at my fingertips. I can store my songs, well, I do store my songs right now on a 750 gigabyte external hard drive, and I can transfer and load up to as many as 15,000 songs on my 160 gigabyte iPod. Not bad, right? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, I recently visited the local Apple store, and the genius there told me to be very careful about relying on one hard drive to store so many songs, which in the aggregate, of course, constitutes a valuable music collection. You know, I actually have over 50,000 songs. It's embarrassing but true. And as he pointed out, all hard drives die at some point. The question isn't if, but when. So if my external 750 gigabyte hard drive decided to die, I will have lost my entire music collection, because once upon a time and along the way, I've been ripping my CDs into my iTunes, and then I've given my CDs away to friends, so I don't have them as backup security anymore. So the Apple genius suggested, well, you know, given this particular problem, you know, one way to go is to have multiple hard drives. So basically have, you know, my 50,000 plus songs not only on the one drive, but maybe have two additional drives. And then as they die, at least there'll be some there that are still alive, and just keep replacing them. I mean, I suppose that's one way to go. It sounds kind of like a pain in the neck, to be honest with you, to keep, you know, reviving my songs through further drives. So, of course, another way to go is to store music in the cloud, because presumably once they're stored in the cloud, you know, they won't die along with a dead drive. They'll be maintained, you know, over time. But perhaps this begs the question whether we even really need to own our music any longer. You know, perhaps buying and keeping albums and songs has become yesterday in today's world. For example, why do I need to own music when I have a Pandora account? I've created over 100 Pandora radio stations. I shuffle them all together, and by doing this presents practically a never-ending variety of music coming my way without me having to own or store anything. And there are other such options like Spotify. So I guess the bottom line for me is, yes, I will preserve my music collection at this point, having amassed over 50,000 songs, but I probably won't add to it very much, and I probably won't have a heart attack if ultimately it dies anyway, because I have these other music options available. So I'm curious, Jonathan, now that I've blabbed so much about this topic, what your thoughts are.
Yeah, no, that's very interesting. I actually have suffered a hard drive failure this week, and it is quite painful. It was on my laptop, which doesn't really contain much music at all, and thankfully most of the stuff I need off it was backed up, and of course there was no client data on my home laptop, so thankfully all of that stuff had been covered off. But it is quite, I wouldn't say life-threatening, but you certainly feel like like you've had a little bit of a loss, and you're certainly below capacity without your sort of trusted storage media, when you think, you know, I can just pull this off in the blink of an eye, but you can't because you're going to have to go and restore backup and so on and so on. So there's definitely an issue there, I think. I've got a couple of thoughts, I guess, on the cloud issue, particularly we're doing a piece of work at the moment, you and I, Eric, on looking at e-discovery and the cloud and how e-discovery will be affected, particularly under European data privacy improvements and the whole cloud piece and the widening piece around e-discovery and internal investigations. And I know we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks when that piece of work is ready. But obviously, the jurisdictional part of the cloud is very relevant. I can remember in the olden days when music on cell phones were those tinny tunes. You know, you could change the ringtone on your cell phone or mobile phone. And there was a whole issue in Europe because it was cheaper at the time to buy the rights to that piece of music from a cell phone operation in the Netherlands than it was in the UK, because the rights cut was smaller on the music in the Netherlands as opposed to here, and under the EU rules, people were exploiting the single internal market. But then again, I had a provider that was pushing content onto cell phones through France. What's the issue with France? Well, the issue, believe it or not, I'm sad enough to know this, Eric, the gentlemen's toilets in Geneva Airport, would you know, have, at least at the time, part cell phone coverage in France and part in Switzerland. Why is that relevant? If I'm the sort of person who orders music, then visits the bathroom, I won't get too graphic, don't worry, please, I could technically be ordering music within the EU and having it delivered outside the EU just by walking that 3 or 4 or 5 yards. And obviously from a rights point of view, that's very relevant, because some music content providers have rights in the EU but not outside the EU, and vice versa. I know that, for example, there's a train line in Austria on the way between Munich and Salzburg, I believe, where it cuts, I think, about a dozen times between Austrian and German coverage. But you're still on the train, you're still driving along the border. So the global world can't cope with country individual rights, and that has caused issues with music, will cause issues as we download more and more phones, more and more films online, particularly as we become more mobile, particularly as devices improve their connectivity and their usability, things like iPads. We talked about it last week about the Olympics. This will be the first Olympics where people will be watching events almost real time in digital TV quality in a device that they're carrying with them in their own rucksack. And my final observation, Eric, was that 50,000 pieces of music, boy, have you got too much time on your hands.
Well, I have to confess there are some dupes and triples in there. Sometimes when I'm playing with my iTunes, I've created multiple copies, and I'm a little concerned about stripping out the copies, because you can have a song and you might have a live version or multiple live versions versus, you know, the studio recording version. And if you basically asked to get rid of, you know, all copies, you could lose some of the, you know, differentiation between the songs. But yeah, it's a pretty big collection, but it's been amassed over my entire lifetime, legitimately, I might point out. But you can see, if I lost, you know, truly tens of thousands of songs in one fell swoop, I mean,
yeah,
you know, I mean, what's a song worth? I mean, even if you say it's worth, you know, even some pennies per song, it's a lot of pennies.
Some work for a business called Gemalto, and they, I think they had research that the average teenager on their mobile device alone has, I think, more than 1,000 euros worth of music. Don't quote me on the figure, I believe that's true, but we have an immense amount of value in the downloads that we carry about with us. And you're right, it's an issue that people don't often address, and it is one that many of us suffer every day when devices that we know and love die.
Sometimes I say privacy is like oxygen. You don't really notice it until it's gone. And in some ways, maybe my stored music collection is like oxygen. You know, when you're breathing, you're fine. And all of a sudden, if you have some restriction on your breathing, you painfully notice it. Well, I'm sure if I went home tonight and I tried to go into my iTunes and my external hard drive were dead and my songs were no longer available, I would notice it in a big way. So, well, thank you for your thoughts, Jonathan, over there. Enjoy your wonderful tropical weather. I'm sure you'll be barbecuing if you're not started already. Thank you for joining us on our weekly Tech Law 10. For those here in the States, have a nice Memorial Day weekend coming up. As you know, you can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. My email address is ejsinrod@dwaynemorris.com. We're the Dwayne Morris IT twins. Jonathan, why don't you carry us home?
Yeah, I'm jparmstrong@dwaynemorris.com. Thank you very much for listening. Be well, back up, and join us again next week. Thank you.
Touché.